You're listening to the Real Church Podcast. Real Church is located in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please visit realchicago.com.
If you guys have your Bibles, or you have a digital Bible, or you have some way of taking notes, I would love for you to actually turn to Psalms 136. I'd love for you to go there, because one of the things that we've been doing as we've been coming into Caller is we've been talking about why we do what we do. And I want you to understand the way that we have crafted our worship service, the way that we have crafted Sunday, the way that we have designed Sunday is on purpose, and it has many important reasons. One of the things that's very different about our church from most evangelical churches that you go to is we do Lord's Supper every single Sunday. Some people come to me and they go, "Pastor Nathan, why do we do Lord's Supper every single Sunday?" I go, "That's simple. It's because of Nick Love." And people go, "What?" Well, Nick came to me, and Nick has a very Catholic background. And for Catholics, the service reaches its crescendo, and it is building up the entire time to the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is the climax of the Catholic worship service. And Nick came to me, and he's like, "You know, I like the music. You know, I love music. And I like the teaching, because you know I like to teach. But why aren't we getting to the Lord's Supper?" Well, for me, when I was a kid, we only did Lord's Supper four times a year. It was on a Sunday night. It was quarterly. And it was only like the dedicated showed up. And so, you know, there was part of me that was trying to look at Nick like, "No, the Lord's Supper is for the dedicated. It's not for everybody." And I thought, wow, that's pretty sinful, isn't it? And so what I want you guys to think about is that, okay, we do the Lord's Supper every single week, and we do the Lord's Supper on purpose. Is it going in and out again? Just go ahead and hand me the handheld. Looks like we're getting a new mic this week. Whoop, whoop. All right. Thank you very much. All right. Well, let's just go to this one. So what we've been doing and we've been talking about and what we've been designing is, why do we do call and response? When I was a young kid, we did call and response as well. There was a special part in the hymnal. Some of you guys have no idea what a hymnal is. A hymnal is a bound book of songs that has over 500 songs inside of it, but the church can only sing 15 of them. Some of you guys who grew up in church know exactly what I'm talking about. And that's because those are the only 15 songs the piano player knows how to play. So I'm just getting like super deep, like with what it is, okay? But inside of this book, at the very back, there were these things that you could do, call and response. I remember being a young man and looking at them and going, why in the world do we do these things? And I want to help you guys out, and I want to share with you. Previous to the printing press, previous to Gutenberg deciding that he could figure out a way to get information to massive amounts of people, previous to the United States of America deciding that it was going to educate its population and make sure, regardless of you were a boy or you were a girl, whether you were Caucasian, Asian, African American, whatever, you could learn how to read. Before that time, the way societies worked is the societies worked in spoken word. Societies worked in chants. Societies worked in call and response. Societies worked in memorizing certain things that they would say, and they would say them together. Now, what's interesting is in America, the way we've moved is we're so prideful, we don't want to be controlled by everybody. We don't want people to tell us what to do, so we're not even going to do the Pledge of Allegiance. That's going to get our nation in trouble. When we are so disunified that we unify in nothing, we will fall apart and we will die like every other civilization before us. So bring that to church. If we don't unify in something, we will fall apart. If we don't unify in who Jesus is, and if we don't unify in the truth, we will have problems. Now, a couple years ago, I taught you guys on culture. I taught you that culture is constantly pressing in on you and teaching you and training you and brainwashing you. That is what culture is doing. Now, I giggle and I laugh because I lived in the 1980s, and in the 1980s, we hated the Russians. Guess what's happening now? all the people who were my age that were kids that hated the Russians are now in charge in Washington. And guess who we hate again? The Russians. Give it 15 years, it's going to move back into the Middle East. Give it 25 years, it's going to go back to Asia. And then it's going to repeat again. It's going to go back. Okay? What I want you guys to understand is there's nothing new underneath the sun. But if you don't pay attention to how you're being brainwashed and how you're being cultured, you soon will become more like the culture and less like Christ. Let me give you an example of why we do call and response. Because we do call and response because we want to get the scripture inside of you and not have a CNN talking head telling you how you think they think the end of the world's going to come. Let me help you guys out. Those of you guys who are in Bible study, we did Revelation with me. We know how the world ends. God ends it. Okay? An orange president inside of the Oval Office will not end the world. Okay? Will not. But coming up till November, you guys are going to deal with massive amounts of fear. Fear is going to be thrown at you constantly. If you don't make the right decision, we're all in trouble. There's a group of us ladies get together, ladies, include myself, because we love on Madge. It's Madge's small group is basically what it is. And we studied Daniel 11. And Daniel 11 taught Madge's small group that God is in charge. And he tells the kings what to do. He tells them how long to live. He tells them where to go. He tells them who to attack. And he tells them who to let kill them. God is in charge. But if you get the way you live your life based upon watching Netflix shows, Netflix has a cultural bias that it is trying to place into your head. Facebook has a bias it is trying to place in your head. Facebook wants you looking at it every 15 seconds. And so they want you to feel like you're missing out. And if you're not looking, you don't know. HBO has their worldview. CNN has their worldview. Fox has their worldview. Okay, Trinity Broadcasting Network has their worldview. Everybody has their worldview that they're trying to press across. And what I want you to know is when you get stressed out, when you get angry, when you get frustrated, when you get scared, when you get hurt, you regress to old habits. So here's what I want to do inside of our churches. How about we build some old habits in us so that when we get into those places, we go back to old habits? Let me tell you one of my old habits. It's a chorus song that I learned in my church. And the song goes, I will cast all my cares upon you. I will lay all of my burdens down at your feet. And anytime that I don't know what to do. That's the way it went. I don't know why, but that's apparently the piano player. Okay. I will cast all my cares upon you. So the other day I looked up that Bible verse. It's not there. It does say cast all your cares upon the Lord. I thought that was a psalm. No, somebody sat down and wrote this song and we sang it so many times in my church as a kid. It is forever stuck in my head so that when I come against difficulties, when I have burdens, when I am afraid, when I don't have enough money, when I don't have enough energy, when my body is hurting, when my head hurts, when I'm exhausted, when I'm done, when I'm afraid, I think, hey, I probably should cast my cares upon the Lord. Because clearly this is one of the times where I don't know what to do. Like, I know this is not that. What should I do? I should cast my cares upon the Lord. This is a time where Taylor Swift telling me to shake it off is not going to help. Okay, this is a time, and I can't quote what I know from other people, what J. Cole would say that you need to do, what problems come. I can't quote what he's going to say because this goes on the internet. Okay, and my wife is here. I don't want to hurt her ears. But what happens is most of the time you are more influenced by the music and the television shows that you watch than by the Word of God. And so what we have been trying to do for 2.5 years is brainwash you. We have been trying to place into your head the word of God that will equip you and arm you to stand against the fight and the attacks of the enemy, your flesh, your neighbor, your boss, or the president you don't like. I want you to be prepared. Scripture tells us to put on the full armor of God. It starts with the helmet of salvation. You've got to know that you're saved. If you don't know that you're saved, your brain is not protected and your thoughts are not protected and your thoughts go stupid. But when you know that you're saved, then you can start operating with the right mind. And that's what we want to do with doing call and response. The other part of why we do call and response is we want you included in the worship service. This is not entertainment. You don't buy a seat. You don't come and watch other people be spiritual. You join in collectively with the church, with the body of Christ, to be the body. Amen? And so when Sophia or Andy or Shay come up here, or Josh or Alexis or whoever comes up here, and they are leading us, we join them. Now, I've said this before, there's so many times I've always wanted to teach in a black church, and the reason why I want to teach in a black church is because when you're teaching really good, black people let you know that you're teaching good. The problem is I've always grown up teaching in white people churches, and white people churches, they go, I'm going to write that down. That's there. That was a hallelujah, okay? Like, I know in a white church, or if you want to talk about it, an academic church, and that's not saying that other churches are not academic, but if you really teach a good point, everybody's head goes down. But if you hurt their feelings, everybody's heads go down. So I don't ever know, like, if it was a good point or if you're just angry. So sometimes you've got to get feedback, and you've got to communicate, and you've got to join in the process of the worship service. There's things that you can say. You can say, that's right. That's right. Someone else can say, Now don't look at somebody like, No, that's not what you're doing. What you're doing is you're saying, I agree, I'm with you. When sometimes something hurts, go, ouch, ouch. Ouch. Now, in some churches, instead of saying ouch, they just go preach it, because it's like it's the same thing. But what happens is when you respond, you remember. When you participate, it locks into your brain. When you sit and you observe and you don't do a function of taking notes or speaking, you forget. And so in our church, we're trying to draw you in to remember that God is good, to remember that God loves you, to remember that he has a plan for you, to remember that he shaped you, gifted you, talented you. Why? Because the rest of the week, you're going to be told the opposite. There we go. So let's jump in together. Let's jump in together with Psalm 136. Have you ever wondered, God, do you love me? God, do you love me? Well, let's dive into this. God, do you love me is a human issue of am I loved? A small child, even before learning about God, will want to know, are they loved? But their small ability to understand love is, do you love me more than my brother? Do you love me more than mom? Do you love me more than the cat? Do you love me more than the fridge? Dad, do you love me more than the Patriots? And in my house, that is always yes. Preach it. That's just a dig at one of our other teachers. Don't worry, she's going to be up later on this month and she'll get me. But here we go. She has to bring up the Cowboys, which is just, Lord help. Okay. God, do you love me? Mom, do you love me? Dad, do you love me? And the problem is that for some of us, our understanding of love stays at a three-year-old level. We never mature and graduate to the higher levels of love. And when we go into Psalm 136, God isn't talking to you like a three-year-old. God is talking to you like the creator of the universe who sees all time, both the past, the present, and the future. And he's saying, I love you. He's talking to you as if you are 98 years old and you are about to breathe your last breath, and you have served the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and God Almighty shows up in front of your face and says, I love you. Come on in. That's not a three-year-old love. I remember when I was learning about love as a small kid, I had to find out, does my mom love me? Does my dad love me? And then when we were in high school and junior high, what type of love was that? Well, that's a very tiny love. But it was important love for me to learn what it was. And then I went through other things in college, and there was a girl that I loved, but she didn't love me, and she broke my heart. And then there was this other really girl who loved me that knew she was going to marry me, but then she schemed and tried to make it so she could control me. And she's wearing green today, sitting on the front row next to my son. And so she was like, that's the dude I'm going to marry, and I'm going to make sure that he loves me. It worked. She's amazing. But I remember when we were dating, okay? I remember we were dating. And some of you guys, you don't know what radios are. They were things inside of your car that you had to tune to a special channel that would grab radio waves out that had massive amounts of commercials that talked to you and gave you like 3 seconds of music. And so, but when I was in Southern California, I believe if I'm correct, there was a radio station, and it's like Kiss FM, it's 103.5, and it was called The Coast. Whenever they would say their name, it would, The Coast. Thank you for coasting with us. And they would do love songs at night. And whenever Danielle and I would go on a date, man, 103.5, bam, sat, whoop. She would get in the car, and man, love songs would just be playing the whole entire time, getting ready to go to California Pizza Kitchen. Because we lived in California, but apparently you had to go to a place named California to get pizza, which was just dumb. But we would go, and we would spend time, and we would sing songs, and we would go through these things. And I remember this one, like, there's nothing better than listening to love songs. You start singing, like, really old love songs. Start thinking right now in your head an old love song, an old love song that you think of. Now, some of you guys are thinking like Justin Bieber's first album. I'm thinking older than that, okay? I'm thinking like 1950s, 1960s love song, okay? My Girl, that's a good one, okay? Anything that Bing Crosby does, he's all boo, 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 boo. You know, it's like so great, whatever he does. White Christmas, the dude's dreaming of a white Christmas. That's just amazing. You know, I think of a song, it was the 1960s. The group was the Shirelles, and they sang the song, Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow? Anybody know that song? Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow? Right, exactly, okay? So this is, I shouldn't be on the worship team, you can totally tell. You're like, man, he needs to preach more and stop singing. Isn't that how we feel? Yes, you loved me yesterday. Sure, you're loving me right now, but what does the future hold? Isn't that what we care about as humans? I remember when Danielle's plan completely worked, and she had me standing up at the front of an altar, and I was standing there, and she came. She was wearing this beautiful white dress, and she came walking down the aisle. And you know what I remember thinking was, wow, she loves me. And I remember a couple years ago, in some of my darkest times and in my darkest moments, when I was experiencing massive amounts of depression and massive amounts of anxiety, and I just remember a time where my wife just looked at me and said, I'm with you. I don't care how dark it gets. I don't care how difficult it is. I don't care how poor we are. I don't care where we live. I don't care what we do. Nathan, I'm with you. That's not our world, is it? Our world is, what have you done for me lately? Our world is, what can you get me? Our world is, we think that we marry a spouse so we can make our station higher, so that we can improve, so we can go greater, bigger, stronger, larger, louder. We don't understand love, do we? How about we jump into Psalm 136 and learn about love? I'm going to read 25 verses to you. says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Every time I say his steadfast love endures forever, all I want you to do is go, mm-hmm, that's it. Ready? Okay. Give thanks to God, the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him alone does great wonders, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who was understanding made the heavens, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who spread out the earth above the waters, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who made the great lights, for his steadfast love endures forever. The sun to rule over the day, for his steadfast love endures forever. The moon and the stars to rule over the night, for his steadfast love endures forever. And he brought Israel out from among them, for his steadfast love endures forever. And with a strong hand and an outstretched arm, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea in two, for his steadfast love endures forever. And he made Israel pass through it, in the midst of it, for his steadfast love endures forever. We're halfway. Take a breath. Okay, here we go. We're going into 15. But he overthrew Pharaoh and the host in the Red Sea, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who led his people through the wilderness, his steadfast love endures forever. To him who struck down the great kings, for his steadfast love endures forever. And killed mighty kings, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let's pause. God, why don't you tell me some of the kings you killed? I'm glad. Here it is, verse 19. Shihon, king of the Amorites, for his steadfast love endures forever. And Og, the king of Bashan, for his steadfast love endures forever. And he gave their land as a heritage, for his steadfast love endures forever. A heritage to Israel, his servant, for his steadfast love endures forever. And it was he who remembered us in our low estate, for his steadfast love endures forever. And rescued us from our foes, here's a big one, for his steadfast love endures forever, amen. Who gives food to all flesh, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever. Amen? Here's the problem with us reading this verse. There would have been a choir inside of the temple. There would have been a caller like me, a hype man coming out, and it would have said, this is what the Lord did. And the choir would have sang, starting in the beginning, his steadfast love endures forever. They would have brought the next one, and the choir would have sang, and his steadfast love endures forever. And it would have built and built and built and built and built and built. And at the very end, that choir would be screaming, his steadfast love endures forever. And that one lady would bring her tambourine out, and she would give her tambourine dance. It was the one time she could do it. And they were like, no, now go whip, go back. You don't get to bring that dance out until verse 20. Just, you got to back up. And she was waiting for it. You guys know, some of you guys have been in the church with somebody with a tambourine. Right now, Holly's like, I got four of them, man. I got four of them. I got a tambourine belt. I got them clipped on. I can hip, hit, elbow. I can do it all. Okay? Wait till verse 20, Holly. But let's look at this. Let's dive into this together. Let's go into Psalm 136. What is God trying to say? Those of you guys who have been Bible study with me, whenever something's repeated, what does it mean? He says it 25 times. What does this mean? It's important, 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 important. How important is it for us to understand that God's love for you and for me and for the earth and all of creation is forever? How important is it? Huge. But what is he trying to say in the psalm? He breaks it apart because there's different pieces that we've got to look at. Point number one, God loves forever. God loves forever. When you look at the first part of Psalm 136, it starts to talk about creation. It talks about how the earth was made and humans aren't even here. It starts in verse 1, and I'm not going to do his love endures forever because it's going to take me too long. I want to get to the end and finish, okay? But here it is. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. To him alone does great wonders. To him by understanding made the heavens. To him who spread out the earth above the waters. To him who made the great lights, the sun to rule over the day, and the moon and the stars to rule over the night. This is talking about the majesty and the sovereignty of God. I don't care what situation you run into in life. I have a simple question for you. Can the dude who made all the great wonders in the world help you? Can the dude who has great understanding help you? Can the dude who spread out all the earth above the waters deal with your situation? Can he help your car start? Can he make sure your fridge doesn't break? Can he make sure that your boss is dumb enough to keep you and not fire you? Yes, he can. Some of you guys are like, where's the tambourine? That's my prayer. We just hit verse 25. Lord, keep my boss dumb. That's your prayer. Emily, stop praying that. We need Andy to grow. Now, can the guy who turns on the lights in the universe help your problem? Can the guy who sees everything see in the dark where you're at? Yes. Can the God who makes the sun come up every single morning, even though it's tired and it wants to sleep in? And God's like, no, up. Can he handle your situation? Yes, he can. More importantly, can he see your situation? Yes, he can. We've got to understand who our God is. Our God loves us, but our problem is we're 3 years old in our understanding of God's love when it comes to Christianity. Three-year-olds think that you give me everything, I love you. You don't give me something, I don't love you. Any moms in here, give me a little bit of an amen? Okay, teenagers, they move into the same thing. If you love me, you'll get me these clothes. If you don't love me, you won't have me in these clothes. And then parents are like, if you love me, you'd pay for it yourself. Lissandra, I saw that hand. Thank you. What I want you guys to understand is we've got to grow in our understanding of God's love. God says yes, God says no, and God says slow. And it doesn't matter which one of the ones that he says, we're upset, we're on the ground, we're throwing a tantrum, we are losing our three-year-old spiritual mind, thinking we're going to get Jesus to go, oh, I hate crying. Okay, get up. I'll give you what you want. No. Point number one is God's loves forever. He loved by making the earth. His love is in Genesis 1 and 2. His love doesn't start when Adam and Eve sin. You have a bad theology if you think all of a sudden because Adam and Eve sinned, God decided to love the world. God already loved the world. He loved the world before he made Adam. Get your human being mind out of the way from all creation. God already loved before you and I were made. And long after you and I are no longer on this earth, guess what? He's going to still love. He's going to love your descendants. My mom and I were having a conversation this week. We were talking. I said, Mom, I don't understand why... How come God's favor is on me? How come God loves me? How come God is so gracious to me? How come God has been gracious to our family? How come God, my brother and I, we are idiots. How come God has blessed us? And my mom and I were just sitting there and I said, I think it's because of our grandparents who dedicated their lives and dedicated themselves to the king and said, God, don't just have me. Don't just have my heart. Don't just have my wife. Don't just have my kids. God, why don't you have all my generations? Some of you guys are going to be that first generation and you're going to change it for all of your descendants. And there's going to be some great, 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 great grandkid who's not going to even know what in the world prayers you prayed. And because you prayed, because you sought God, because you dedicated your family, God says, you know what? You're an idiot, but your great-grandfather loved me, and I'm going to honor him. Your great-grandmother honored me. I'm going to honor her. And some of you guys are sitting in the honor and heritage of people who came before you. How about you pass it on? Amen? I said, Mom, I know why. I know why God is blessing me. He's blessing me because you and Dad sacrificed. He's blessing me because Grandma and Grandpa on both sides sacrificed. He's blessing me because Danielle's parents sacrificed. Danielle's grandmother sacrificed. Do you guys get the heritage? The love isn't just today. You get to do things that impact eternity forever. Because if God's love lasts forever and you're in his love, your love lasts forever. Just let that blow your mind. Mind grapes done. Point number two. God rescues forever. God loves forever and God rescues forever. You can put God saves. God is the forever savior. You can put that in there. Let's look at verses 10 through 21. And to him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt and brought Israel out from among them with a strong hand and an outstretched arm, to him who divided the Red Sea in two. God grabbed Israel, who was in Egypt, and Egypt was mistreating the Israelites. And the Israelites called out to God and said, God, would you please help? And God said, absolutely, I'm going to help, but it's not going to be the way you want it. You thought I was going to help you stay in Egypt. You're moving. You thought that I was going to put you on the coast. Nope, I'm taking you inland. You thought you weren't going to have to do anything or participate. Nope, you're going to have to go to war. But God is the Savior, and he rescues forever. Do you think your situation is any more difficult than being enslaved by a guy who thinks he's God and is in charge of the most powerful army in the entire world, and all you have is a couple wooden spoons and forks, and he literally has chariots and horses? Do you think if God can destroy that dude, he can handle your issue? I think he can. God does it with a strong hand. Pharaoh got smashed. Egypt got smashed. There's a problem that we have in Christianity is we want God to bring justice. God, would you please bring justice? Something wrong is happening over here. Bring justice. And God brings a heavy hand, and he smashes justice on something. And you're like, whoa, I didn't mean that hard. Like, I wanted you to be, like, really gracious, you know, like watercolors, God, not charcoal. Wow. Sometimes God comes in with a heavy hand, doesn't he? Some of you guys have experienced God's heavy hand, haven't you? Some of you guys need to say amen, but it'd be like, yeah, ouch, that's fair too. Ouch. I remember being a kid, and when I was doing something stupid, I learned about the outstretched arm. Has anybody learned about the outstretched arm? Anybody who grew up before seatbelts were the law knows about the outstretched arm. The outstretched arm, for those of you guys who don't know, is basically in the 1980s, we all grew up on fake leather that we put armor all on, which made them incredibly slick, and you had absolutely no friction or the ability to stay wherever you were at. If your parents took a left turn, you went to the right side of the car. If your parents took a right turn, you went to the left side of the car. And if your parents stopped, you changed the radio channel with your face. Anybody else remember that? But what would happen is if they would break, they would be driving. They would be driving. This is driving. Okay, this is 1980s driving. And so because the seats weren't up, they were all leaned back for some dumb reason. So you were driving. And then if they were going to hit the brakes like really fast, immediately their right arm would go out. Anybody ever get hit by the right arm? The right arm of justice? The elbow of stopping, right? God's outstretched arm to him who divided the Red Sea in two. Do you have a problem so big that you can't see the solution? I'm telling you right now, if I'm standing out there, I'm at the Red Sea, we're all backed up, it's me and Moses, here comes the Egyptian army, and I'm like, oh, dude, we're dead. You guys should have gone to swimming lessons. I'm good. I can make it. You guys, you're dead. I wouldn't see the solution that God came up with. How many times has God put a solution in your life you couldn't see? All the time. I've learned to stop saying, this is what God is doing. When I was a little less arrogant, I said, perhaps God is. Now I just go, I don't know what God's doing. I have no idea what God is doing. Now, for some people, that scares you. You're like, Pastor, you're supposed to lie to us and pretend that you know what's going on. No, I'm not going to lie to you. You go to another church, there are plenty of pastors in this city and across the nation who will lie to you. Go for it. I'm not that dude, okay? But he overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea. So your problem can become the way God kills your problem. Let that sink into your head for a second. To him who led his people through the wilderness. So you just went through the, wait. Pastor Nathan, so they went through the Red Sea and then it wasn't done? There was more? Yeah, they went through the wilderness. To him who gave them the opportunity to choose right from wrong, and they chose wrong, and he held them to their choice. You mean if I make a choice, God will honor my choice? Yes, that's called hell, and that's called eternity in heaven. God is not going to somebody and says, you know what, you didn't love me, and you decided that you didn't want to have me, so I'm going to not honor your choice. I'm going to bring you into eternity, into heaven with me. No, God is going to honor their choice, and that is heartbreaking. When you think about it, to him who struck down great kings and killed mighty kings. Now, this was really fun in my study. When I was going through this, I'm going through the story of Israel. Israel out of Egypt, Egypt into the wilderness, wilderness into the promised land, going up to the east of Jordan, from the east of Jordan over into Jericho. Jericho, take on Jericho. So everything's great. And it's not true. It's not everything great because they don't follow directions. So it goes, okay. So, but this is before they go into the promised land. Stop for a second. God's love endures and God saves you even before the promised land. Somebody sit and go, oh, wow. Oh, wow. The kingdom of God is now. The kingdom of God is on the side of the Jordan River of Shihon and Og. And God has already beaten them. Some of you guys are like, one day I'm going to enter into glory. One day I'm going to cross over the Jordan. One day I'm going to go into the promised land. Everything's going to be great. That's not what this scripture says. This scripture says God already smashed the kings this side of the Jordan. Why don't you get your tambourine out? It's verse 25. Start dancing. But if you don't think God's love endures forever, you don't have your tambourine ready. If you don't think that God saves, you're not ready to get your dance on. If you think that the only way that God loves you is still as a three-year-old, that he will give you sugar for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and you can go to bed when you want to, that's not how our king works, is it? Our king expects you to mature and be a man or woman of God to the full stature of what he put into you, and he will grow you into it. He will take you and show you and reveal to you the slavery that you're in. He will wait for you to wail and call out and ask for his help. He will then come in and handle it away. You didn't think he was going to handle it. He's going to bring somebody in you didn't want, named Moses. He's going to lead you. Why is that our leader? He said you wanted help, right? Yeah, but not that help. No, I'm going to bring you this help. And it's going to get difficult because there's another lesson that God is teaching. He's teaching your enemy a lesson. And then there's a hike, a journey. What, we're going to leave? I thought you were just going to kill him and we were going to take over Egypt. No, we're going to go on a journey. We're going to go on a walk. It's going to be long. And they walked and they had a choice to not walk long, but they sinned and so they had to walk for 40 years. And then they come into the backside and then God's like, okay, it's time to come in. All the people who couldn't trust in the Lord, I got rid of. And all the people who wanted to enter in are here. Let's do this. But not only that, before we go into the promised land, we're going to crush some other people. And I'm going to give this as an inheritance to two of the tribes of Israel, get the inheritance east of the Jordan River. I know off the top of my head, one of them is Gad. I forget who the other one is. What I want you to understand is even before God finishes solving your problem, he's going to bless you. Somebody needs to write that down. Because you don't think God wants to love you. You don't think that God wants to bless you. You don't think that living in the United States of America is a blessing. You don't think Wi-Fi is a blessing. You don't think indoor plumbing is a blessing. We are blessed out of our minds. Amen? How about we start giving thanks to the Lord of Lords? The Lord of Lords who has a car outside waiting to drive you somewhere. The Lord of Lords who has a heater running right now in the house where you're going to go back to so it's still warm. The Lord of Lords who has some food inside of your fridge. I get it. It's not prosciutto. Doesn't everybody get to eat prosciutto every single day? But why don't you be thankful that there's at least a piece of lunch meat in there? Okay? Opened my freezer the other day. There's tons of stuff from Costco in there. I'm thinking, man, I got nothing to eat. It's nothing I want to eat. Okay? God smashes the mighty king, Shilon the Amorites, Og the king of Bashan, and he gave their land as a heritage. Some of you guys are going up against enemies and difficulties and problems because God wants to give you that as a heritage. Some of you guys are in a sucky job because God wants to give you that job as a heritage. Some of you guys are in a sucky neighborhood because God wants to give you that neighborhood as a heritage. Some of you guys are in dealing with people, relationships, and stuff like that because God wants to bless them. And you're praying that you can leave. And God's like, no, 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 no. That's where I want you. Point number one was what? Point number two was what? Point number three is God provides forever. Some of you guys are afraid of provision. God, how are we going to have money? God, how are we going to pay for this? God, what's our medical going to be? The biggest thing right now and fear that happens in America is how are you going to retire? How are you going to retire? Give us your money so we can be rich, so you can retire. That seems like a good deal. You need more money. You're already in the 1%. Let's put you in the 0.5%. And if you make it mess up for some reason, since you own all the lawmakers, you won't go to jail and all my money will be gone. I like this plan. Let's do it. God provides forever. Verse 22, a heritage to Israel, his servant. The servant gets a heritage. Let that blow your mind. Let that blow your mind. Isn't it always the master that gets the inheritance? Isn't it the firstborn, like Madge said, the one who gets the inheritance? Not the servant. Not the forgotten one that we don't even know their name. Not the one who's supposed to do stuff and not be seen or heard or talk to us. That's not how God works. God provides forever, even for the servant. Wow. It is he who remembered us in our low estate. Do you remember being low this week? Do you remember being low last month? Do you remember being low last year? God remembered you. He was watching you. He was paying attention to you. He was seeing you. He was listening to you. He was weeping with you. He was sitting next to you. He was holding you. He was covering you. He was protecting you. But I get it. As a three-year-old, it didn't feel like love, did it? It didn't feel like protection, did it? It didn't feel like he cared, did it? He didn't give you sugar for breakfast. He didn't give you sugar for lunch. He didn't give you sugar for dinner. He asked you to grow your character. Doesn't that sound like a good parent? Doesn't that sound like a good parent? A good parent who cares more about the character of their children than they do of whether or not they have more sugar in their belly. Pleasure isn't everything, is it? And rescued us from our foes. Sometimes you're the foe. Let me change that. Most of the time, you're the foe. Amen? I'm the foe. I am my own worst enemy. I'm the one who's thinking the thoughts that I think. I'm the one who stresses. I'm the one who worries. I'm the one who gripes. I'm the one who complains. I'm the one who's not thankful. I'm the one who isn't grateful for the things that are around me. I'm the one that's thinking about tomorrow and not living in today. Anybody else have the same problems? Maybe God is trying to get you, maybe, to transform your mind, to renew your mind, and to align your mind to his truth and not the truth of the flesh and the truth of your world. Maybe, just maybe, 100% maybe, God is changing the way you think so that your thoughts will be worship. Just a thought. Maybe. And he gives food to only the ones he loves. Is that what scripture says? Only Christians. Only men. Only Asians. Only Russians. Europeans, African Americans, athletes, intellects, chess champions. It was very specific for one person. I know. It just seemed like you were like, that was just really random. Yes, it was. But the one person in this room was like, oh, dang. Dang, he preaches at me. That one person who's like, Pastor, I felt like you just preached this sermon at me. No, it was everybody, mainly Matt Smith. But he gives food to all flesh. Aren't you afraid of how you're going to eat? Aren't you afraid of how you're going to make money? Aren't you afraid of how you're going to make bills? Aren't you afraid of will you have enough? Aren't you afraid of can we survive through the winter? Aren't you afraid of whether or not who our next president is, if we're going to survive as Americans, or if Canada's going to take over and we all have to take Trudeau as our last name? Like, aren't you guys like all afraid of something, right? If you weren't afraid, welcome. I just did it. I don't know. I didn't like, you were doing great till you came to church and my bad. Okay. He gives food to who? Then why are you afraid? Why don't you stop asking God for stuff and just start thanking him and then just let him give you whatever he gives you? Do you guys remember that transition when you were a three-year-old and you thought Christmas was all about you and then you became an adult and you learned what Christmas was about? And you stopped asking for stuff because you learned when you asked for stuff, you were never happy. But when you didn't ask for something and you were given something, you were incredibly thankful because you weren't expecting anything. Isn't it a different mindset? He gives food to all flesh. Point number one, what was it? Point number one, what was it? Point number two. Point number three, God provides. So only this week, right? Only last week, right? Pastor Nathan, the Mayans made a calendar. It ended. God's not. That was literally his grocery list. God is done. Even in eternity, what is God going to do? Provide. Even in eternity, what is he going to do? He's going to love you. And even in eternity, he is still saving you. Let that blow your mind. So here's our application. Worship team, come on up. My response is to receive his love and give praise to him forever. Forever. My response first is to receive. Some of you can't give what you haven't gotten. You're trying to love people with your fleshly love. It's not going to work. You need to tap into the one who has loved you before you were made, who has loved you before the earth was formed, who has loved you before the stars were in the sky. You need that love to come into you. Some of you today, that's your prayer. God, I am prideful, and I keep pushing you away like a three-year-old tantrum giving, walking through the grocery store child. I need to stop. I got to come to you, and I got to receive your love. God, here's my laundry list of things that I'm dealing with. Here's the laundry list of things that I'm struggling with. God, here are all my fears. Here are all my worries. Here are all my struggles. But God, these are massively huge if I don't feel your love. And if I feel your love, these don't matter. Do you guys remember that? Think back in a time in your childhood when you were really scared of something and somebody you loved grabbed you and pulled you in and held you and told you, you're safe. You're okay. You're not going to get hurt. Yes, your mind was going crazy. Yes, your heart was beating super fast. But their calm love did what? Brought you down. Some of you guys need to come into God's calm love. Especially in 2020, we're coming towards the presidential election. People are going to say some incredibly stupid stuff to try to scare you so that you will vote in a certain direction. Don't fall for it. You have a mighty God who is standing there looking at you on the grocery floor, waiting for you to stop throwing your tantrum and stand up and reconnect in relationship. Amen? Mm-hmm. My response is to receive his love and to give him praise forever. Some of you guys, you need to have like a praise week this week. Okay, listen to me, and I'm being really real. When you get up in the morning, tomorrow morning, and your feet work, praise God. Mm-hmm. When you stand up and you walk into a room that's already warmed and heated and there's a toilet, the toilet seat may not be heated, but praise God, it's indoors. Start praising God. When you have water to wash your face, when you have a friend or a colleague or a roommate or a spouse to greet you there, praise God that they are still there and they didn't leave. Praise God that you have lights that turn on and off. Amen. Praise God that you have police officers at your beck and call if you need them. Praise God that you have firefighters in case you don't know how to make toast. Praise God. Praise God that you have a dumb boss that hasn't fired you. Praise God that there's the L that you can get on, and sure, it takes you 45 minutes to get down to work to ride on a train powered by electricity that goes underground. Let that blow your mind. Start praising God. Amen. Praise God we're sitting in blue chairs. Yes, they're a little bit uncomfortable. Yes, I've preached long, but praise God you're not sitting on the floor. Amen? Let's start praising God. We can look negatively or we can look to the King. Which way do you want to go? Let's go to the King. Amen? Verse 26. Give thanks to the God of heaven. This is our chance. Stand on up. Give thanks to the God of heaven. For his steadfast love endures forever. Amen?
Amen.
Now let's just pretend that we're back in Israel, we're in the temple, and we've just gone through 24 of the verses, and the crescendo has been rising and rising and rising and rising. Get your tambourines out. Let's worship God. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Thank you, Nathan, Pastor Nathan.